prayer, Sankirtan 2.0. So the Sankirtan mission was established by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's for real. It was carried on, built up more and more by his followers, such as the six Goswamis, all the way to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Visa Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and others. But at least to me, it's quite clear that my own desire to serve this mission is real and good and worthwhile and bona fide and all of that. Now, I have this feeling there inside, and had it for years, of dissatisfaction. That all I have done for the Sankirtan mission through the years, distributing books, making books, magazines, radio, this and that, preaching and building congregations and so on, and so many others in the Krishna Consciousness Movement doing that, that it hasn't as of yet reached and touched, visibly at least, the hearts of very many people on this planet. I know some devotees would say, oh, it has. But frankly speaking, I think it could and should be much more. So I've been thinking and meditating on it and praying and once more and again. And I have come to this conclusion. This Krishna consciousness movement that Srila Prabhupada established is like here, showing a way a bit up, and the humans of the world today are here, showing a bit down, and there's the ground. Visuals, right? And I could, if I want to have a little fun, I could just sit here and speak this and have a book next to me, Bhagavad Gita, and I raise it up and then down there is a table and up there is gone. So, and then I could, if I want, do some Blender graphics to build a stair up. Most people just can't understand those books and this knowledge. We used to joke about it. I'm traveling Sankirtan. We were selling teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and one devotee, God brother, said in the morning, you know, here I am, selling this book to simple working people out there, and then I go back and read it myself. I can hardly understand it. So if you look at it really objectively and plucking the stars off your eyes, it is quite clear what it is. That stands between these books and this moment and that of millions of billions of people taking this to heart and becoming happy in Krishna consciousness. We should not kid ourselves just because it feels more comfortable to rest in the belief that we are doing great, everything is fine. Well, I mean, we are. Because we had the great fortune of receiving this wonderful gift of bhakti from Srila Prabhupada. But regarding the Sankirtan mission, the goal of it, the mission statement of it, to bring Krishna consciousness to the heart and soul, not only to every town and village, but to every heart and soul. It just begun. It was basically just established across the world by an empowered soul. And then we tried our best. At best. And did some things good, some things not so good. Just as can be expected, right? But here is one of us, and there are of course many more out there. Whether anyone sees this or not, I can't tell. I'm just speaking out into this strange space, cyberspace out here, hoping that anyone can hear me and would maybe feel inspired by something here. So, what to do? Well, there's something called strategic planning, where you first set your goal so it's clear, and I think it's pretty clear. And then you actually look at the obstacles on the way to that goal that you can see already now, which is pretty wise, although it may seem like negative thinking. Because once you have those obstacles identified, they won't come as surprises, because they will come staring you in the face. But if you have already foreseen them, then you can, from the very beginning, prepare for them in your action plan, in the objectives that you choose, the projects and tasks and so on, to reach that goal. This is basic strategic planning, which makes sense to me. So, yeah. Well, obviously, and we all have experienced it much enough not to have any doubts about that. One obstacle is the cultural ignorance, you could say. And the cultural biases, which are different in different countries, different cultures on this planet. Like here in Sweden, I know for sure, because I grew up here, if at least in the late 70s and the 80s and 90s, you stepped out on the street dressed in dhoti and kurtan with shaven head and tuft of hair in the neck and yellow clay on your forehead and so on. Most people thought you were, if not completely, just crazy, and at least very weird. At least not really someone you would listen to and follow when it came to your biggest life decisions, or any life decisions, or any decisions. I mean, let's just face it. So then that has to be dealt with somehow or other. And of course there are other obstacles. One obvious one what unqualified neophytes Prabhupada had as his disciples, and those disciples got as their disciples, it's just a fact. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm a neophyte, just gradually trying to learn, gradually trying to come to the standard of sattvic life and of the Vaishnava qualities. It's not just about learning a philosophy and some moves. So it's deep, and we thought it was just about those learning all that set of practices and rules and regulations and philosophical tenets, and then that's it. But we're really talking about a deep change of heart here. That's what the purpose of it all is. And now, it seems, we are starting to wake up to that fact, one after another. And one uncomfortable example of that, or part of that, is when it gets just all too obvious that even some leaders, even some top leaders, are actually still pretty neophyte too. And how can we be neophytes after a long lifetime? Well, I would say the same way that many religions become a bit mundane after a while. Because it stayed there on the surface. The dress, the titles, the positions, the buildings, the book learning, the ability to sing and dance, you know, these kind of things that then became the standards for respect, who is to be respected, and also, of course, to be a powerful, strong person, good at speaking and influential in different ways. And in this way, standards are being set. People are being set into those standards, and things go on. Looking as if this is what it's all about, and we're doing good. Now, I'm not being critical here, I'm just analyzing different obstacles, because when we see, first of all, that a group of people are not themselves real, standing with both feet on the ground, or they are developing cultish behavior among each other in the usual way that we have seen so many Christian groups do and others, then people won't respect that, they won't listen. They can see and feel that. People are not stupid out there. Or rather, if you can't remove these obstacles, then you will only get stupid people as your followers. Sorry, but people who do not have the intelligence or ability of clear thinking, independent thinking, but just join for other purposes, and of course often do so in order to just fulfill some need for the organization. Otherwise, who wants them? Maybe they can be collectors if they're smart enough. Otherwise, pot washers, isn't that? Well, isn't this how it at least was? I'm just stating the fact. So we need to open our eyes and see all these, identify them, and not just pretend they're not there, because they may stand in the way of this Sankirtan mission, this movement to actually move towards where it's supposed to go. So, anyway, as you probably now think, I'm one of those critical, grumpy old men. Let's move on. The probably main hurdle, though, is the big gap between the level at where people today are and the level of the books that Srila Prabhupada gave us. I mean, just think about it. In the old days, the Mahabharata was said to be for simple people, rather unintelligent, common people. Now, who can even read the Mahabharata? Who can read books at all? Who does that? So, that's what I'm saying, why I'm saying the work that I think is now to be done is to build a stair from here to here. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not very good at it, but that's all I see I can do, and also what I sincerely think and see that has to be done. And you know, because speaking about obstacles, there may be things standing in the way, but if there's a big gap, you need to build a bridge. So this is really what I am, why I have started talking about Sankirtan 2.0, because well, in case you don't know, that generally today in this computer-oriented world means the second version, upgraded version of something. Because it is about explaining these teachings, extracting the essence from them, explaining them, and if only so a little portion of them, in a way that people, wherever they are, at whatever level, whatever cultural context, can relate to and can appreciate to, can appreciate and can say, yes, never thought about that, that makes sense. And when they do, opening a little door for those who want more, building a path for exploration. At least to me, that's an incredibly inspiring thing to do. And it would be much more inspiring if we were many who do it together, because, to be honest, my ability these days is not much to write home about. But I can make some videos here and write something and maybe someone gets inspired by it. Potentially many could be if Krishna gives me intelligence. But this is where we are now today.